is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Did I hear Snagglepuss in the background, Nick?
Is that
just what I heard to open up the second hour of the show? Those are the kind of moments that we need out for the peeps, because the Snagglepuss laugh obviously puts everybody but me in a good mood. As we open up hour number two,
okay,
of the suspects, Tom Brady's going to wear 12. Godwin is going to wear 14 for the Buccaneers. And much to my surprise, Chris Godwin didn't get or want any compensation from Tom Brady for giving up the 12.
Do you think that's smart, being a good teammate, welcoming him and not making him pay?
I think if you were a rookie or a free agent, I think I could understand that. I think if you're an established receiver that had the year he had last year, and I get it, you want to work well with Brady, but I think that it's at least worth a conversation. Because, I mean, even for the Texans, there were guys that, like, were – I remember a couple of different instances with the Texans where there were guys that probably shouldn't have had their conversation with a seasoned veteran over a number, but still got, like, you know, either a donation to charity at the worst or, you know, $30,000, $15,000, $30,000 for a guy that's, you know, a journeyman or not an established player, that's big money.
Dude, $30,000 is most people's salary for a year. And these guys are just throwing around that money like it's nothing. Like, oh, here you go. This is so I can wear a number. That's disgusting. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to be the old man yelling at a cloud, but good Lord. I like your idea of give it to a charity.
Yep.
Oh, that's just so disgusting to throw around money like that.
I mean, Godwin, he seemed pretty cool about it from day one, though. Like, he was all about, Tom Brady, respect, all that other stuff. So,
although he did say he was passionate, he wore 12 since, like, junior high or high school.
Wow.
And was, you know, because some guys just take whatever number they give you. And he was like, I've always worn 12. I'm passionate. If he doesn't want it, I definitely want it. But he is the GOAT, so if he wants it, I'll give it up. He's handled it very, very well. But when you see past precedents of some of the, like, guys that aren't as good as Chris Godwin that are getting thousands and thousands of dollars to give up a number, you're like, you know, even if you have, like, your own foundation, you could probably have gotten something for it.
Yeah. I like the charity idea. That's the way it should be done.
Or charity. Hey, Giselle, you know, if you got a couple of free model chickies, I mean, you know, at least hook me up
on
a date.
What? Are you? Oh, a date. I was like, Are you
suggesting
Giselle become a madam and start pimping out models?
No.
Is that what you thought too, Nick?
Yep.
Yeah, Joel.
What happened to Team Blank, Nick?
Oh yeah, that's right. My bad.
Jeez.
Screw you, Barry.
FedEx guy just
dumbass.
Got more booze.
Now I'm just on Team No Whores all by myself now, huh? Okay.
Well, it's a new team for you. I mean, it's like you. It's
Wait
like
a
being
minute.
On the Patriots all these years.
I've never been on Team No Whores. Wait a minute. I don't know how – is it Team No Whores or Team – okay, never mind.
I was going to make fun of you for our off-air conversation, Joel, but I still need that liquor, so we'll bring it up afterwards.
You were going to make fun of me?
No,
what
Joel.
What did I say off-air?
About you downloading an attachment in an email.
Oh, yeah. It's, for some reason, my laptop's not doing it.
Is that a shocker? Is that a shocker to you, Laminate?
Wait, what? Whoa.
I figured he couldn't download an app. I got that part.
Joseph,
I've always been able to download
technical problems.
No. I've always been able to download attachments, but AJ sent out, and I asked Nick casually in the break, AJ sent out a new schedule, and I went to download it. I've hit the download button, and it normally just transfers over to the download button that you can just, you know, bring it in. It didn't do that. I don't know why. So
just
whatever.
Get such a giggle out of you struggling with technology. It's just so much fun. So have you downloaded the attachment yet?
Shut up, Nick.
We're going on minute 7 that you're struggling to download the attachment in an email.
I'll tell you exactly why he's having a problem. It's because it's a Google Doc and he uses Yahoo Mail and he can't figure out how to make it all happen.
I'm never going to get that liquor.
No, the FedEx guy is. So congratulations to the FedEx guy who's going to be drunk for a month. And screw you, Nick. I mean, this will be a lesson learned.
Or maybe, no, you know what? I just looked at it. It's not a Google Doc. It's a numbers file, which means it's Mac's version of Excel. It's Apple's version of Excel. That's why Joel's freaking out, because
he probably
doesn't have that installed on his laptop.
But he says he can't even download the
attachment. Yeah, it won't even download, Barry. I click on it, and I click on the download button, and normally you just see it being transferred down, and it's not there.
We haven't even gotten to the part where you have to hit open yet. We're just trying to download it first.
Well, okay, so here's what you do, Joel.
I did get to the part where I hit the button that says kiss my ass. I can tell
Joel,
you that.
Here's what you do, bud. Call AJ and have him telegram you the file, because I know you still get telegrams. Or you could fax
Western
it.
Union. Yeah.
Yeah, he could fax it. He
yeah, we'll fax him the instructions is what we'll do.
Maybe you could get it over.
Yeah, Morse code. Taylor's been working on that.
No, what was that? What was not Morse code. What was it that they used to send messages that way? Was that I don't remember what the hell that was called.
That's Morse code, right? Because Braille is for people that can't see.
It's not the one I'm thinking about. It's you know, in Western movies, when they would be like, they would send something over the wire,
like a telegram, right?
Was that a telegram? I thought a telegram.
I think
was something
so.
Different. Telegraph, telegram. Hell, I don't know.
Something like that.
Whatever.
Yeah,
the telegraph, maybe. That's well,
you
that's,
guys look old as hell too for being able to bust on me for that.
Why?
So yeah, thank you very little, because you guys can't even think of the names of this stuff.
Well, it's because it's so old. I wasn't around like you for it, okay? I don't know. Okay. I wasn't there in the old West when they were putting up the phone lines for the first time. Yeah. Hey, Western Union, telegram for Joseph Blake.
I think it was telegram. I think you're right.
Okay. Anyways, Joel, if you want, what I can do is I can take pictures of it with my phone and text them to you.
You're an EG.
I've
almost cussed like four times in this segment, so no, I'm not gonna say it.
My bad, Joel.
That was good times.
The liquor's not your bad because it's going somewhere else.
Sorry, other news, Bob.
Out of the NFL, so that you know, NFL owners confirmed by a teleconference today that the expanded playoffs that were agreed upon in the new CBA will go into effect for the 2020 season. Therefore, instead of two byes per conference, the number one seed will get a bye, and all three other division winners will each host a wild card game. They will include three games on Saturday and three on Sunday, the opening week of the playoffs. Your thoughts?
I'm good with extra games. I'm okay with that. I think you're going to dilute it a little bit, but what are you really adding? I mean, how many extra teams is this adding?
I think it's two extra teams. I think that the key is, instead of the top two records in each conference getting a bye, which can be so important in terms of getting healthy and getting prepared for playoff run,
it's just
now
the one.
Only the number one seed, so it becomes even more imperative that, you know, for the best playoff odds to run the table, you got to get that one seed, and that's going to be a dogfight in both conferences.
Yeah, I do like that. There's more football to watch.
For sure.
I don't know how much you dilute it, but you're making some of the better teams play, which is good. You know, the best team obviously in each conference doesn't have to, but everybody else does, and I'm good with that. I mean, more football, as long as it's not, you know, oh, it's the 12th seed in the conference, then I don't want to necessarily watch that. I don't need to watch, you know, last year's Jags in the playoffs. I don't need that. But, you know, if one extra team snuck in, okay.
I mean, the bigger problem is, and some people call it a problem, some people like it, but you can actually, you're adding teams. So, you know, like this year, a 7-9 team would have gotten in the AFC with the added team, would have been the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that you run the risk of, which you see a lot in March Madness, is it doesn't matter how hard you worked all year to have a great record in the regular season. You could get knocked off by a 7-9 team in the first week by having a bad game. Some people would say, well, that's on you for not being prepared or playing your best game. But others would say, why did you work your ass off for 18 weeks to have it all slip away in 1 week because you had to play opening week? You know, I can see it both ways, but I like the fact I'm with you. I like more teams and I like more games, but I mean, what's your thoughts on the fact that you could be, a team that was in the fight for a one seed all year, win the division, have a big time record, and then lose the wild card to a way lesser team?
Well, don't lose. I mean, that's the you're going to have to at some point play a quote lesser team. Don't lose.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. If the upsets are fun, you know, I mean, not that you want to see a Super Bowl with a wild card team, but that's happened in the past. The Giants were, when they won, were a wild card team. So you know, it does it suck that a team would go 7-9 and then make a deep run in the playoffs? Yeah. But is it likely? Probably not.
Yeah. So that's the new playoffs that will start not this year, but the following year. And the other bit of NFL news that came out just today, this morning, is that we said the draft's going on as planned. It's going to be all online. NFL and their team said players will be in their homes. They will make sure they are not more than 10 people in every room. Everybody's 6+ feet apart. Good hand hygiene. Anyone with fever or respiratory illness is staying away. And the league will use all 3 days of the draft to raise money and support for the most vulnerable and others in need in the pandemic. So trying to make the best of the situation while they are absolutely exploiting the fact that they're the only game going.
Well, let me circle back real quick, because one thing we should have mentioned when we were talking about the new CBA and what's going in is this whole Eric Reed controversy where he has asked for a probe into the CBA, because apparently, according to his lawyers, the NFL went back and changed some language in regards to disability for players after it was voted and approved. And his lawyers, I guess, were helping players with their disability claims and then noticed, well, this language wasn't here before. So they found some discrepancies in the CBA post player vote, and now they're inquiring about it and potentially gonna they've asked the NFL for a revote because of the change in language. So pretty interesting. If the NFL was trying to sneak one past the players, that's going to be real bad if that's the case.
I'm just a little surprised that he's paying his lawyers to get in the middle of all of this when both sides, the Players Association and the NFL, pay so many on-staff lawyers that you should probably just, if you're Eric Reed, just go, hey, NFLPA lawyers, did you catch this? And then let them have at it.
Yeah, that's probably his lawyers being a little greedy too, though. No, we can do this, we can do this. You know, lawyers are greedy.
Or if this thing gets the pub that you just mentioned, then maybe they're getting attention by saying, we were Eric Reed's lawyers when we took on the NFL, and you guys should come and do business with us.
Yeah, Eric Reed's always going to fight with the NFL. That's no surprise, I think, to people. Plus, he's a free agent, so he's, you know, that might be, I don't know if he's still, if the NFLPA would represent him right away. I mean, I know they would represent him in, like, claims for disability and so forth, but I think it's interesting because, look, if this comes out to be true, now the NFL has to explain why. And they'll probably be like, oh, that was just a mistake. But it's too late. If this is true, it looks like the NFL duped or tried to dupe the players. That's a really bad thing. Like,
bad luck? Ooh,
yep.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Eric Reed because he could be a Texan real soon, too. That's also out there. So lots of things to talk about as we continue to roll on. There was just some NFL for you. And, of course, plenty of room for you to join the show. It's the Usual Suspects rolling on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back as we wrap up the first half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city. Practicing social distancing and only the essential people out on the roadways and at work, as you guys are essential to us, so we appreciate you suspects out there. We were talking NFL. Barry had touched on this Eric Reed deal that's going down with the new collective bargaining agreement. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Another interesting tidbit, the Bengals have released former first-round draft pick Dre Kirkpatrick. So another defensive back hits the market for a team that desperately still needs help in the secondary. He was hurt last year, but during his time in Cincinnati, he started 67 games, 99 appearances, 10 interceptions, 65 pass deflections. He still feels he has a lot left in the tank. What says you, Barry Laminack?
I say they don't need another 30-year-old cornerback with 8 years of wear on his body and legs. They need to get younger in that secondary and better, and I'm not so sure getting a Bengals retread is going to help them do that at this point. I saw he had a minus 2.7% catch rate allowed against expectations, which, okay, he allowed 6.9 yards per target. But the fact is he's 30, and you've got to start solving some problems in the secondary long term and not creating creating short term fixes and band-aids. So I he's not a guy that I would go out and spend the money on. Now, it doesn't hurt to bring him in camp, work him out, let him compete for a job and see what happens. But I wouldn't be like, well, there's the answer for the Texans in the secondary.
I mean, you know, depending on what other offers he has, I always say this, at least kick the tires and see, because, I mean, you say they got to get younger. Well, they got Hargraves, and, you know, they made a couple moves last year. They got younger, but they didn't necessarily get better. And that's the thing. If you've got a guy that at least is experienced in the league, is a veteran, and, of course, it all comes down to his health. If his wheels are good and he's not Jonathan Joseph slow, he might be able to help you. But I feel you on getting younger. It's just you got to get younger and better, and I'm not sure that they did that with the moves they made last year. Of course, you know, adding anybody to the secondary might have made them better.
Well, I don't know if this says anything about him or what, but I tried to look up his player grades and so forth on Pro Football Focus, and he's not even listed.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's not even a thought on Pro Football Focus, so I don't know what that says or if that's just oversight on their part, but I looked under, because a lot of times you'll see these defensive backs, especially hybrids between cornerback and set. Well, I'm looking under player grades under the Pro Football Focus tools.
Okay.
If you go to player grades on the tools, yeah, usually it'll list all the like cornerbacks. It has it by position. So like Richard Sherman is the highest rated cornerback according to Pro Football Focus at 90.3. But yeah, he doesn't have Kirkpatrick listed.
Okay.
Dang, Joel, you're doing the Darth Vader now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, it's you.
Yeah.
It was Barry earlier, now it's you.
Did you swallow the microphone? What the hell are you doing?
Wait, we didn't do this for you when you were doing it for a segment, so
yeah,
just
you
slow
did.
Your roll.
No, you
we did,
did
not. Switching gears a little bit, but one that I enjoyed listening to this morning, if you guys didn't catch it, but former Met Paul LaDuca, not exactly a fan of Alex Rodriguez and not afraid to let people know, which I thought was rather outstanding. He now is like not a baseball analyst. He's doing things for Bleacher Report. I want to say for like horse racing, but he's like a horse racing analyst. And I think, you know, some other things with like handicapping and gambling and things. He was on the WFAN New York sports show Moose and Maggie. And he was asked about Alex Rodriguez. And to say that he didn't hold back, rather interesting. There's a couple of cuts here. The first one, he essentially just talks about how fake he is. And it's a good one.
Well, A-Rod's always been that way. He's sort of the kind of guy that looks at you, but he's not really talking to you. So,
exactly.
Everybody knows those guys, and that's sort of him. Hey, and that, kudos to him. Kudos to his career after baseball and what he's done for people. But people know. I'm not a fan, and I'm sorry. Never will be a fan. I just think he's one of the fakest people out there. And I know I always get heat for that. And I'm like, oh, he's done this and he's done that. He's done this and that. But everybody just somehow forgets, and so does ESPN, where he works for, what they did for him. They had a guy follow him. Pedro Gomez was Barry Bonds' guy. ESPN had a guy following him around for a complete while for what he had done in baseball and the stuff that he had done. So the way he gets put on a pedestal now is beyond me.
So, I mean, that was just for starters. You thought he was done there. No. Then he was asked, do you think that other former players are bothered by Alex Rodriguez? And he said this.
I think it does because he's a guy. I mean, like, it's pretty well known that him and Derek really didn't get along. And he always thought that he should have been the shortstop and Derek shouldn't have, you know, maybe went to third base. And then A-Rod then did his fake thing on saying, oh, I'll be okay at third base. And then he had his one postseason where he did do well, but his other postseasons weren't that good. And for him to come out and talk about scandals is, that's two negatives making no positives. I mean, let's be honest about that. So I said my piece about it. Listen, and I was in the Mitchell Report, something I'll never be proud of, and something that was a mistake of mine a long time ago, but I owned up to it. I didn't lie. I owned up to it immediately. It was over with, and people can judge me the way they want to judge me. I could care less. But when you completely lie about it for years after years after years after years, you cash in $260 million, and people are like, well, he's successful. Well, hell yeah, he's successful. He got paid over $500 million in his career. I would hope he has some money.
I mean, that's pretty – you don't get better than that. And this is what all Astros fans were saying when he was out there criticizing absolutely everything about the Astros and how they handled all of this scandal stuff. So it's kind of a joke.
It's nice that other players are coming out and saying how fake he is because you always got that feeling. You always – I mean, even if you were observing it and his actions post his playing career, it's obvious he was fake. To condemn the Astros for cheating, bitch, you cheated. What are you talking about? You don't have the right. You know, if John Kruk wants to come out and call out the Astros, it's obvious John Kruk never took steroids. So if he wants to come out and lambaste the Astros, I respect that. But a former cheater complaining about current cheaters? No, that's just ridiculous. And so I love the fact that in even though, you know, look, LaDuca wasn't claiming to be innocent. He said he ended up in the report. He owned it. But he's also not lambasting and he's also not being fake. And that's the thing.
That's
what I love about it.
What LaDuca was also saying was, just like A-Rod saying, the Astros have not had one guy come right out and admit and say, look, and compassionately say, I'm sorry. Well, you didn't either. That's what LaDuca's saying. He goes, I was in the report. I'm not proud of it. I apologized right away. A-Rod didn't. And, oh, by the way, at the end of the day, when you have a choice to make between wanting to be in the Hall of Fame someday or making $500 million in your career, most people are taking the cash.
Yeah, I'm taking the cash. Now, my favorite part of the whole interview was at the end, LaDuca starts talking about J-Lo. And kind of got a little creepy for a second, but he talks about J-Lo and how she might be kind of fake, too.
Where he could do whatever he wants with it. So now his relationship with J-Lo has taken him to a level that he's a saint. Give me a break. Give me a break. You know, and by the way, she did commercials for Fiat. I'll never forgive her for a Fiat because if J-Lo ever sat that nice little butt in a Fiat, I'm a 10-foot Indian. Okay?
Wow. Little creepy.
If and if you're A-Rod and
sat
you
that nice little butt in a whoa, you could have just said J-Lo's never been in a Fiat, bro. Why did you get creepy, Paul? We all had your back.
If you're A-Rod,
and now we're all like,
weren't already ticked off about the first comments, now suddenly when he's making comments about your lady like that, you're like, bro, okay, we got issues. And I, by the way, we've said this on the show in the past. There is not a single moment in my lifetime that I see Alex Rodriguez that I don't think, how could anyone ever trust this cheesy, shady dude with all of just the way he's so fake in everything he does. I couldn't agree with LaDuca more.
Yeah.
All right, there's a little baseball for you there on a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects as we got plenty more to get to as we head into the second half of the show. So hang with us. Second half comes up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show on a Tuesday in the big city. As we roll on, by the way, it is Paul LaDuca is a gambling and horse racing analyst for Barstool.
Okay.
And A-Rod works for Barstool too, doing a podcast called The Corp, which is all around him now being this businessman. They do the TV show too. Remember where he one of the ones he tried to rescue Evander Holyfield from bankruptcy and. He's got a show on some network where he's
the
trying
to. The Corp is what it's called?
On Barstool, yes. But there's also a show where he takes ex-athletes and people and tries to straighten out their business dealings to be successful.
Oh, it's a podcast. That's weird.
The Corp is a podcast. And there's the TV show where one of the episodes, he took Evander Holyfield and tried to help him. Resurrect his businesses, and I think they were boxing gyms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, interesting.
A-Rod, look, if nothing else, you hate him because the dude ends up with J-Lo after being Mr. Chief.
That's why you're hating on him?
Oh, amongst other things, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That's where we start. We can start.
That's exactly right. That's the head of the list, and then we can go on from there, but that's a pretty big issue at the top of the list, just to throw it out there. Also another thing in the NFL that just to get your guys' thoughts real quick, but Adam Schefter pointing out multiple teams have now raised the issue that free agents that don't have signed contracts by the draft upcoming, and many don't because, as we mentioned, team doctors are not available. They're not allowed to travel. So Brady made an exception and took his physical in New York, and it was a doctor that both sides agreed upon. A lot of teams aren't willing to do that. Now, if they're in hold mode, waiting to get a contract signed, and a player at a certain position is drafted, the team reserves the right to rescind any agreement if it's not signed that they had with a free agent. So the free agent then is left holding the bag, so to speak, instead of collecting the bag of money. That's going to be interesting as well with them keeping up with this draft date.
And don't put it past the NFL. They'll flex on that in a heartbeat. If it's going to save them money, to the detriment of the free agents or whoever they have, oh, they're going to do it. So
it's a Daryl Morey type move because that's the kind of thing Daryl would do as a shrewd GM. He doesn't care about gentlemen's agreements and handshakes and things like that. And if there's not a signed document and he thinks something's wrong or something's better out there, he'll switch gears. And it shows. Look what happened. Was it Brockers that was ready to sign a deal with the Ravens and they had agreed on the verbals? They didn't get all the way through to the physical, and all of a sudden on Monday, one or both sides raised an issue or two. Next thing you know, the Ravens are like, nope, we're moving on. We're signing Derek Wolfe instead. You're on your own, and Brockers had to re-up with the Rams.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, football, it's amazing how disrespectful. And there's no loyalty in business, let's be real. And there's no loyalty in sports for sure. But the level of disrespect, I think, that the players end up putting up with. So, but I guess if you're an owner or, somebody in the front office of it, then you just say, well, it's just business. It's a shrewd business decision to do these things. These players go out and put their bodies on the line, not just for you as an owner to make money, but for the fans to entertain. So a little bit of respect would be good in these types of situations, but it's never been the case, and it probably never will be, especially in the NFL.
I agree. Other sports news from around the globe. Good move on Major League Baseball's part. They had agreed to pay minor leaguers $400 a week through April. Now they've extended that through the end of May, May 31st. Minor leaguers are going to continue to get checks because we all know they don't make much. And it's very, it was very, very structured in terms of when they were supposed to get their money. So they're doing that, which is very cool. And also, Dr. Andrews has decided that James Andrews, the much renowned surgeon that is who everybody goes to for second opinions when they have injuries, particularly baseball players needing Tommy John surgery, Good thing Chris Sale got his in when he did, because between him and Syndergaard, now Dr. James Andrews has said he's temporarily suspending all of his Tommy John surgeries, because people are like, wait a minute, what's up? The governor and the president are all saying non-essential surgeries need to be postponed, and yet we're reading about pitchers getting Tommy John surgeries. He's like, all right, you got me. I'll put it on hold for a while.
Yeah, probably wise. Use those masks and those stuff is better suited or better used elsewhere at the current time. Besides, if you should have done it sooner, right? Like,
right.
It's a little late. You guys, most of these people knew they needed it. They were just going to try to get through a season or whatever. So I think it's wise to suspend it, and we'll see. We'll see who's affected by that later on, but it's probably a good thing. Donate those masks and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, first of all, he's not going to walk away from the fact that, you know, between, you know, the team and insurance companies and whatever, that's a pretty big check every time he does one of those surgeries. And he's not exactly a spring chicken. You know, he's going to be like, yeah, you know, I understand what they're saying, but there's only four people in the operating room, and we're practicing social distancing except for when the scalpel's in there. So we're good. I need that six figure check.
You think that, how old is he?
Let me see if I can,
cause you said he's old, right?
Yeah. Dr. James Andrews has been around forever. So, let me see if I can do a quick Google search on him.
Let me see. I got it. He is 77 years old. There is no way that I would want a 77-year-old doing surgery on me. No thanks.
Well, I mean, I think you can say that about people of all ages. I remember we had a neighbor who was a brain surgeon and had glasses as thick as Coke bottles. And I was like, well, I think I'm gonna pass until you operate on my brain, I'm going to say no, I'm not. I'm just not going to feel comfortable with that. That's like that commercial, okay is just not okay, when the doctor walks in and goes, ready for surgery on your brain? And you look at him and go, can you even see me right now?
I love that commercial where the doc walks in and goes, and he's down the hall. He goes, guess who just got reinstated? Well, yeah, initially.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's so good. That's what that would remind me of. But
Dr. James Andrews, by the way, net worth, want to guess?
$20 million.
$30 million.
He's the number seven richest physician in the world. Mm. The early estimations in the first article was between 10 and 100 mil. But then when I put in Dr. James Andrews' net worth, comes out to 30 mil.
Nailed it.
Damn it.
Boom.
30 mil.
That's a lot of cash. That's a lot of elbows. That is a lot of elbows.
Yeah, but, pretty, once you master the surgery, I'm pretty sure you're in a pretty good position, because everybody obviously goes to him. He's the foremost expert on it. So, you like to be the guy that he passes the torch to, in other words.
Oh boy, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Speaking of medicals, a lot of you guys are out there and you are struggling, whether it be you just don't have the energy you once had, or you can't get those workouts in the way you used to, and you're wondering if there's anything that can be done about it. Well, the people at Apollo Men's Health are here to help. They are going to do whatever they can to analyze, make you feel comfortable, and tell you how they can turn your life around by giving you more energy than you've ever had before, and maybe even a little help in the bedroom, too. They have testosterone therapy. They also have cutting-edge methods that can change the way that you get your testosterone, because a lot of you are on really busy schedules, and sometimes it's tough to break away once a week to get your testosterone therapy. Well, they've got a new and cutting edge pellet testosterone therapy. It reduces your weekly visits, but still maintains your overall wellness in a more convenient way, and you have all the energy and feel better than you've ever felt before. They are great people doing great things, and they treat you like family. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy. They're going to increase your overall quality of life in so many ways, and you're going to get all the information put right there in front of you, and they're going to work on a solution and a plan that best fits you and your lifestyle. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966, 832-664-9966, or log on to their website, apollomh.com. You can book your first appointment online. Most major insurance accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check them out. Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects as we are plowing through the second half of the show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday on a beautiful, beautiful day in the city of Houston. Fellas, I, for one, am extremely excited in the fact that ESPN has made a business decision that I support 150%. The 10-part series on Michael Jordan and the Bulls that was supposed to debut in June has been moved up to April the 19th, and especially with the fact that it looks like we're all going to be stuck in the house till the end of the month, I could not be more pleased with this decision.
Oh, this is like porn for you. I mean,
it's
this is just...
no question about it. I'll watch when Lisa's not at home, because I guarantee you...
penis
there
out.
Will, it, I don't know if it'll be out, but it'll be working, because this... I mean, you think about it now. There was obviously the Bulls were a dynasty, and they won. Mm-hmm. They had the 2 3-peats, but it was so secretive. You had a coach that hated anything to get out. Michael was so hyper focused on privacy and only letting few people in, and no one really got to know him. And then all the crazy, you know, the craziness of Rodman and some of the side pieces, including Carmen Electra. But the fact that now they're talking, and now it's all being documented, and I think each episode, it's 10
hours. So it's going to be player interviews and stuff, too?
Oh, everything, yeah. And they actually got Jordan, which is so tough to do.
Oh, wow.
To sit down and talk about, like, every aspect. And there's a – I'll see if I can find it for you, and I'll retweet it. There is a trailer out right now, too, where he – you know, some of the things that they were talking about from just – you know, getting ready for games to Jordan basically saying, if you're going to mention Michael Jordan, you should mention Scottie Pippen. I was like, Mike, you're being nice. But
yeah.
At the same time, I really kind of want to find out about the behind the scenes, because I've heard so many stories from like the card games on the plane to like practices being like fights. Like, I think Steve Kerr even talked about it the one time that I think Jordan full-blown punched him in the face during a practice one time.
Really?
Yeah. So there's. I'm looking forward to this. It's 10 one-hour series.
Yeah. And when does it drop?
April 19th.
Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I also it is focusing on one season, right? One particular season, like one of the seasons from the second three-peat, right?
I thought from what I had taken, it's basically kind of encompassing the Jordan years,
okay.
The 6 titles. And all of that. So I don't know, but
no, that's gonna be a good
series. I'm
really
fired up about seeing it. Yeah, because, you know, I've heard about the card games. I don't know if you guys know this, but one of the interesting tidbits that no one knew early on was when Michael started to get big and popular, and which is basically almost from the onset with the Air Jordans and all those other things, he decided that to kind of isolate himself from the media, which he was also isolating himself from the team, he had his own locker room within the locker room. So everybody else had the big Nick, and you guys both know, the big open area like the Rockets have. Well, there was a side room down the hall that was Michael's own, like, locker room. Like, he was separate from the team, and so that he didn't have to deal with all the media charging into the locker room and things like that. And that was kind of the first of many moves in sports when then after that it progressed to where you heard about Cal Ripken Jr., I think it was, stayed at a different hotel than the team, didn't take the team bus, took a limousine. Then Terrell Owens started doing that too. A-Rod started doing that too. And it's like, I get it that you're a bigger-than-life superstar, but in order to be successful, you would think you don't want to separate yourself from your teammates, but Jordan was like one of the first guys to do that.
That doesn't surprise me. That not at all. It was kind of ushering in an era, you know, when of super mega stars like LeBron and Kobe. But he was there were stars, but Jordan took it to a whole new level. So it wouldn't surprise me if all that, you know, if he was the first one to do it. I'm sure there were guys that, you know, had certain perks or things, but a locker room in a locker room, that's pretty wild.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it was almost like, you know, with his own personal security guy too. He was one of the first ones to do that as well, where in order to get to him, not only was he in a separate room, but you had to get through the security people within the locker room before you could get to him. And so it was like total isolation that he really, you know, that was one of the things that he had to have. So I'm going to retweet the article and at Pac-Man Joel, and the trailer's there. You guys can check it out. But just the whole Alan Parsons project with the Sirius, the intro to Eye in the Sky that they were introduced to. When you hear that music, it's so synonymous with Jordan and Bulls that, I'm looking forward to it. And you know, and we always talk about the greatest of all time, LeBron and Jordan, and going back and forth. Have you guys seen this, that ESPN Searching for Content did their March Madness bracket to find the greatest college basketball player of all time, and it's now down to two?
Oh?
Yeah,
it's... let me see if I can guess. Is Clyde one of them?
No.
What?
Yeah, no. Now, if you want the Nick Sciarra and University of Houston Cougars bracket, that's going on as well too. Clyde is still alive in that, if you're interested.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be the top
so
two.
Here's
Sam Bowie.
No, but he leads the basketball in leg breaks though. But
yeah, he does.
When you look at it, I was going to say, because the lead in was Michael Jordan's still so popular that they're doing each matchup you vote online. And the final is Jordan versus Bird. And
okay.
I get it, and yet I don't.
I don't.
Because to me, I'll tell you honestly, and we always talk about criteria, but honestly, when I think about this just quickly, the criteria for me is like individual accolades and awards and team accomplishments. Yeah, Jordan won a title in 82. They beat Georgetown. He made the shot, right? But mm-hmm. And he got Dean Smith his first title. But when you think about what, when he was Lou Alcindor, what Kareem
yep.
Abdul-Jabbar did at UCLA,
yep.
and how the magnitude of the game he lost to Elvin Hayes at the Dome, but the titles they won, the dynasty of Wooden, that would be one. And the other one, whether you hate him or love him or can't stand Duke or whatever it is, Christian Laettner's career.
Yeah.
Individually, mm-hmm. the shots, the awards, the title, I would think that Jabbar, you know, Lou Alcindor and Christian Laettner would have to be in my final two.
Another one from UCLA would be Bill Walton. He was
sure. Yeah.
He was a ridiculously good college basketball player. I don't know, a little before my era, I don't know if Bill Russell played all 4 years in college, but and then I don't know, Larry Bird.
Yeah, but he took a team that really had nothing but him and carried them to the championship. And he played, you know, this was before there were hardship cases. So when you asked about Russell, who played at University of San Francisco, or Bird, you know, they had to stick it out. And, you know, Bird just had a complete overachieving as a team career in college because of just his abilities.
What about where do you – because when you were saying that, one of the things I was thinking about when we were talking about Clyde, one of the names that popped into my head was Patrick Ewing, because the dominance of Georgetown. Is he up there for you from a college perspective?
I think that both he and Olajuwon. I mean, we were talking about this with all the 30 for 30s that we've seen recently that they brought back. But you know, we talk about Guy B. Lewis and how he should be in the Hall of Fame. But when you talk about that run in the early 80s of the Cougs with Olajuwon. And he did – I believe he came out after 3 years. But 3 years, and I want to say two minimum Final Fours and championship games, if not all three. They lost in the Final Four to Carolina. They lost in the title game to NC State. And then they also lost to Georgetown in the title game. So that three-year run by Olajuwon should be up there too.
Yeah, I would agree. So I did a quick Googles of like a top 50 list. And one of the names I was going to throw out that he ended up at 25, but Lynn Bias was known to be,
oh my God, one of my all-time favorites,
ridiculous in college. But your boy makes an appearance on this list at number 20, Calvin Murphy, checking in as one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. Played for Niagara from 67 to 70. And
I've
guess
told
what?
You guys
Christian
before.
Laettner was 19 on the list. That's a little low for me.
I would agree with that.
He should be higher. Ewing at 15, so I was way off on that.
By the way, right now, 37,090 votes are in. A dead heat, 50-50, Bird and Jordan.
To your credit, Lou Alcindor, number one on this list. You want to guess who number two is? Pete Maravich.
Another guy before my time, but I've heard
nothing
but great things.
I would have never guessed that.
Wow. Who's the top five? Who's the other three?
So, top five going in order from 5 to 1. Bill Russell at 5. Bill Walton at 4. Oscar Robertson at 3. Mm. Pete Maravich at 2. And then Lou Alcindor at 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty salty. I can't believe almost 40,000 votes and it's 50-50.
That is crazy.
All right, so there's a little bit of basketball for you on this Tuesday in the big city. We'll continue to roll on with a whole lot more. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.